Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
It is my privilege to share with you this morning, and I want to thank so many of you who've been my cheer squad as I've been going through things. It's been such a blessing to me and to my family. And you know, I have grown up in the church and been blessed to grow up in a family of faith. I've been married to David for nearly 24 years. I know, I don't look that old, hey. And we've got three boys. We've got Elijah, Moses, and Samuel. And I have worked my career in financial services as a HR manager. And I share my story today, and it's not a story of perfect faith, but it's about His faithfulness, His perfect faithfulness to us. And I know so many of you have gone through things, but I hope that I can share and inspire you as I share my journey today. It was May 2021, and I had been working on the people due diligence for the sale of a business. And if any of you have been through that, there's a lot of secret stuff, and it's market impacting, so it can't get out. I was working really hard, and I knew that I had some lumps, or one lump, I knew that it was there, but I'd had it checked before, and I thought, oh, it was annoying me. But I kept working, and finally got to the point where we had announced the sale of the business and we'd started rolling out the people change and communications. And I knew it was at a point now where I could just take some time. And I said to my boss, I need to go and get a test because I knew that there was something not right. And I was hoping, of course, that it would be nothing like it was the last time I had a scan, but I ended up going to get a scan and I had an ultrasound. And I was talking with the girl as we're getting the ultrasound and everything seemed okay. And about 10 minutes in, she's like, oh, I just got to go talk to the doctor. And she was trying to be very professional, but I knew this wasn't normal. So she left and 5 minutes later, she comes back and the doctor's in front of me and he says, Kelly, you need to go to a specialist straight away. What we're seeing does not look good. I was a little bit shocked. It wasn't what I was hoping to hear, but I got booked in to go and see a specialist. So a couple of days later, even when I got to the specialist, she says to me, oh, well, you're fit, you're young, you're healthy, you don't really have any risk factors. You know, hopefully those guys down the road don't really know what they're doing. Hopefully we can just send you on your way this morning. It's like, yes, this is what I wanted to hear. I'm finally in the hands of the professionals. But I ended up staying there for half a morning when I was only meant to be there for an hour. I had an ultrasound, had mammograms, and then I had multiple biopsies. And there was just this moment where I was left in the room after the biopsies, and they're a bit painful. They're poking needles into you. And I just was lying on the bed in the darkness, and all I could do was just say the name Jesus. Jesus. And immediately I felt the peace of God enter the room, the peace that passes all understanding. I love that we sung that new song this morning, Speaking Jesus. That was part of my journey, that song. And, you know, if I had a message, if I couldn't speak my message, I reckon I'd just put a banner over the top here this morning and just write Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. So I got told I'd have to come back on Monday to find out the results. And it was a Thursday, so I had about 4 days to get through. But I just decided I wasn't going to panic and I wasn't going to jump to conclusions. I was going to keep hoping. And I just went through the weekend and honestly, I was able to put it out of my mind. We went to the soccer, watched the kids play, I did my shopping, came to church, put it out of my mind mostly. But there was this moment where I was driving in my car alone, and that's when the trouble comes, when you're on your own. And I just started to spiral, and my mind was like, what if? What if? What if this is really happening? Oh, no. Like, how did this even happen? And immediately, God is so good. I felt him nudge me and say, that is fear. That is fear talking. And I knew the Word of God. The Word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I wasn't going to dwell in fear. I wasn't going to face my greatest battle starting in fear. So I put on the worship music in my car and I started to praise God. You know, praise, like we're lifting God as we praise Him. But I feel like we're also pulled up to where He is as we praise Him, above our circumstances. It's not just for us. I mean, it's for Him. It's absolutely to magnify Him, and He's worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, He's already done everything and He is worthy of our praise. But it does something in us when we choose to praise Him. And I think, you know, we take that exchange, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness through praise. So I turned up back at the specialist to find out my results. And unfortunately, I was told I had triple negative breast cancer. I had a lump that was about 6 centimetres in size, and it had travelled to my lymph nodes. And unfortunately, that's triple negative breast cancer is one of the more aggressive types of breast cancer. So they wanted to hit me pretty hard with a lot of different treatments. And I was like, oh, anyway, this was just getting my diagnosis. And, you know, the thing about a diagnosis, we get these reports and oftentimes it's not what we want to hear, right? It could be a financial report, it could be a medical report, it could be something else, but not what we wanted to hear. And, you know, these reports, they can have some facts to them, but I want to encourage you, they're a point in time. If you looked at my year 2 report card, you know, Kelly is mostly good, gets a little distracted. We'd like it if she stopped talking so much. I'm not the person I was in year 2. That was a point in time. And it's the same with these medical reports. They're a point in time. With these financial reports, you need to understand God's report for your situation. I had the Word of God. The Word of God said, by His stripes I am healed. Isn't it wonderful that we have Jesus? He has paid the price for our sickness, for our salvation. And I could speak the name of Jesus in my situation. I knew it was God's will to heal me. And I knew that Jesus Christ is the only big C in my life. So my treatment started differently. As Nathan said, on Monday night, the elders came over to pray for me. On Tuesday night, friends came over to pray for me. Wednesday night, I was at the creative leadership night and they prayed for me there. Thursday night, I came to our prayer meeting at the chapel and they prayed for me there. And I wasn't done with prayer yet. I came on Friday night to a healing ministry and I got prayed for there. And you know, a lady, this God just shows that He's with you and everything. I had a lady that I didn't know. She came up and she started praying for me and she said, oh, this is a bit funny, but I feel God saying He wants to heal you of cancer. Do you have cancer? It was that blunt. I was like, oh, yes, I'm just being diagnosed. But you know, that week, it just filled my bucket with promises and words that I could grab a hold of, that I could draw on through my journey. I had to go after that to the hospital to start to hear about, oh, what was going to be the course for the next little while. I was in the public hospital system and remarkably they prioritised me because of the type of cancer. I got in pretty quick and I remember sitting down with the oncologist and the nurse and they were lovely, but they were just like, oh, you know, it's going to be tough. And they're giving me all these sheets of all of these symptoms and challenges that I could have. They said, oh, you are going to lose your hair. And it was funny because they were making out like that was just the small part of it. And I was like, my hair? I don't want to lose my hair. But praise God, I got a really good wig and it didn't matter so much in the end. I would meet people sometimes that didn't know what I was going through. And they'd say, I like what you've done with your hair. It was pretty good. Maybe I should wear it again sometime. But they also said I wouldn't be able to exercise, that I'd need time off work. And I didn't realise at the time when I told my boss that I was going for some tests that I was actually going to be out of the office now for the next 6 to 9 months. I didn't realise, but I didn't go back for a little while. I heard what they said, and some of it was true, but I didn't receive all of it. And I wasn't going to have all of the things that could have happened to me on that list of symptoms from chemotherapy. And I didn't. But I'll keep talking, I'll keep moving, and I'll come back to some of that detail. But I started to seek the Lord for his word for me. And my first point, because you know a good message, I've been around the church for a little while. How many points am I supposed to have this morning, church? Three, thank you. 3 points. My first point this morning is seek the Lord for your battle strategy. There are so many examples in the Word of different battles that were undertaken. And, you know, so often they would go before the Lord and pray first. How do we do this? You look at Joshua, who came out and led the Israelites to defeat Jericho. And they marched around Jericho 7 times. The 7th time, they praise him. And then there's King Jehoshaphat. They send out the singers and the musicians in front of the army. There's Gideon. Different strategy again to keep reducing the men that are going out into the battle. The Lord has a different strategy for each of your battles. And I think there's a couple of reasons. I'm sure there's multiple, but there's 2 that come to my mind. The first one being, if the Israelites only had 1 trick, if their battle strategy every time was to start marching around the city they wanted to conquer, do you think the people in the town would just watch it happen? They'd become wise. The enemy would become wise to what was going on and probably take him out in the 1st or 2nd round, right? The enemy becomes wise. But the second thing I wanted to share, the reason why he has a strategy for us, he wants to stay close to us. He wants us to stay close to him. He's a relational God. He wants to share his strategies, especially when we need it the most. So I read my Bible and I felt like God was leading me to 1 Samuel 30. Now, David had just been fighting with the Philistines and he returns to his camp with his men at Ziklag to find that the Amalekites have raided his camp. Everything precious to him has been stolen. The women, the children, the livestock, probably some treasures. Things have just been stolen and the camp is ramshackled. And, you know, they're upset. The men are even getting a bit angry, but they're all upset. And if you read from verse 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was aggrieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all.'" I felt there was a huge promise in this one for me. David's camp had been raided, things precious stolen, and he was grieving. I felt a bit the same, you know. I'd had my health my whole life. I was the last person to get sick. I had a mum who worked full time. Both my mum and dad worked full time. So I was in that era pre-COVID where you go to school no matter what. You basically had to be dying for your parents to take a day off work to stay home with you. And so I'd never had much time in hospitals or anything like this. And it didn't fit. The shoe didn't fit. And I was upset. David strengthened himself in the Lord. And we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we're encountering these things. He said, "What do I do, God? Do I go after it?" And God said, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake and without fail recover all." And if you know that story, there were spoils that were won in that battle. I felt the Lord was putting a promise in this for me too. But you know, David had to fight. God didn't say, "Oh, just sit there, it's all going to come back to you." David had to gather his men and go out and take it, take the land, take things back. And I want to encourage you this morning, sometimes we do get a bit comfortable when things have been stolen by the enemy, but we can take them back. We can go and fight them. You know that song? "I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet." That's for us. That's for today. We can take back what the enemy's stolen from us. And I felt the Lord was assuredly saying to me, "I will without fail recover all." Trial can often come before a triumph. That's the beauty of it, right? We get to triumph and experience the victory of Christ when we rise up with him. Ask God for his strategy for your battle. Anchor yourself to the promises in his word. So I started my treatment and it wasn't fun. There was bone pains. There was stuff going on. But you know what? We kept praying and we knew that God was with us. There were people around me praying for me. I kept exercising. I kept doing the things that I knew to do. My second point this morning is every prayer counts. Now, I am a mother of boys and I have this awesome watch. It was gifted to me. Or let me just say that. I told them what I wanted and I ordered it and it turned up just in time for Mother's Day. Praise God. Sometimes you just got to do what you just got to do. But you know, the thing about this watch, it tells me how many steps I've taken. I can be out, you know, at home, walking around, getting my coffee, not doing very much at all, and be shocked to find that I've done a couple of thousand steps without even realizing it. I can run. I can go for a long run and exhaust myself, but it still counts the steps the same. Every step counts. And it's a little bit like that with prayer. God hears every one of your prayers. Psalm 139, verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. 1 John 5:14, Pastor Nathan shared on this last week. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I knew it was God's will to hear me, heal me and hear me. It's his will. So I was praying his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. He hears you. He hears it all. And you know what else? He loves it when we pray. My children, you know, boys, they're not exactly the most communicative, but I love it when I can see they've been waiting to tell me something. I don't know what it's like with a girl, but I can imagine they're a bit more, you know, bursting at the seams. But I can read from their expression that they're saying, "Mom, I'm so glad you're here. I wanted to tell you this." And I love it when they come and tell me things about their day and what's going on, and even just if they're looking for advice. They're often not looking for advice. Spare you that. They're not asking for advice. But I love it. And how much more God when we come to him? It's how we have and activate our faith, by talking with him, by praying. And you know, in Revelation 5, it talks about there are the living creatures, the four living creatures and 24 elders. And they've all got a harp and they've got a bowl, a golden bowl, which is incense to the Lord, which is the prayers of the saints. As we pray, we're blessing him. It is incense to him because we're coming to him in prayer. You know, I had to face into some tough times. And there were times when I didn't know what to pray because I didn't like what they were telling me and I didn't agree, but I prayed. And sometimes I'd pray in tongues because, you know, when we're praying in tongues, we're led by the Spirit. It's effective, even when we don't know what we're saying, and I would receive peace as I would pray in tongues. In Matthew 9, there's a number of healing miracles, and you know, if you're needing a miracle, a healing miracle, read this. It will stir your faith. But there's four different healings that happen in Matthew 9, and the first one is the woman with the issue of blood who reaches out to Jesus' cloak and is instantly healed. And then there's the rich ruler and his daughter who's dead and he wants Jesus to come and pray for him, for her. And then there's the blind men that receive their sight through faith. And then there's the paralyzed man who his friends bring to Jesus. And you know what it says about the paralyzed man? It says, Jesus saw their faith, the friend's faith. And then he said, your sins are forgiven, and the man was healed. Do you know there's a community around us and their prayers count too? I had so many of you praying for me and it lifted me up and it counted. When I couldn't pray, when I was a bit discouraged, when I didn't know what was going on, your prayers were counting in my situation. And we need to be that for each other. Every prayer counts. Listen to this, Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. I love this. It's a parable, but I love this woman. She inspires me. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" Can you picture this? This is a judge. Like, I'd imagine he was quite wealthy. He had a good house, probably. He could have hired security if he was really concerned. But he's worried about this persistent widow. She knows what she wants and she's going for it. And he is worried. Listen to what the Lord says. Listen to what the unjust judge said. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth?" Continually praying is activating our faith. I would pray about everything, every little report. I had people that would text me and ask me what the prayer lists were this week. And you know, God wasn't up there going, "Oh no, it's Kelly again." I think every time I prayed, he heard my prayer. I had people praying. I was praying for my blood results because the chemo can affect your blood. And a lot of people don't get through the type of treatment that I was having. They had to stop because of the impact. But I don't know if it's something to be happy about, but I was able to get through the full course because my blood just kept going strong. And there were so many miracles along that way, little miracles along the way. And I'm just reminded of Psalm 84, where it says, "Even though you go through the valley of Baca, there are little pools of refreshing along the way." And that was the case for my journey. I hadn't been excited about going into chemo. I actually looked at it and thought, "Oh, that seems like a Lion King fans here. That's a dark, shadowy place that we must never go to." But Jesus showed me that even in our darkest path, he is our light and our salvation. "Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He's with us in everything. And as we continue to pray, we get to feel his presence. Side note, I do like to run. Are there any runners here? Do people like to run here? Anyone? There's Matt. Matt knows what I'm talking about. When you're running and you're trying to increase your pace, the best time to do that is not when you're running up a hill. The best time to do that is on the flats or downhill if your knees are good. But, you know, I think in this room some of us are probably going through great times at the moment. What if this is the time that you could go your deepest with God? What if you could just be delighting in knowing him and spending time in his presence? He reveals his secrets to us. What if even more you could be interceding for other people? What if this could be the time when you gain the most of your relationship with God while you're on the smooth path? Now, I got through my treatment and miraculously there were so many turns where God was just in each corner. And I got through my surgery and then I had more chemotherapy. And it was, you know, it was just the mop up. And I was cruising along and I was back at work and it was all good. I had a lump and they told me it was nothing. So that was good. Except that it wasn't nothing. I had to go back. I found myself again being told Unfortunately, that lump that we told you was nothing actually is something. And by that point in time, it had also travelled to my lymph nodes. So I found myself again, like your mind, you go straight back to, oh, I'm going to lose my hair again. Oh, no, this is not fun. And, you know, a little bit of grieving. But I had to strengthen myself in the Lord. And you know what? The second time through, it wasn't the same. There are a number of things that had changed. And, I mean, the first one being my health insurance had kicked in for this type of cover. And I went through the private system. I had my own private oncologist, which was very different to waiting hours for my appointments at the Royal. But I also didn't lose my hair the second time round. The drugs that they gave me were different and more specific, and there'd been more research that meant that it could target differently. But the other point that was different was this time I decided to keep working. My boss, I'd used up all my sick leave the first time, but, you know, I could have gone on to income protection or whatever. But my boss said to me, we love having you here. I know that you enjoy working. Do you want to keep working and see what happens? And I thought about it and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to. I think let's do this. And she kept saying to me, oh, the boss has approved it. I'm like, how? Why do I need the boss to approve me continuing to work? But what she was saying was, whatever you need, we've covered it. You just work, we'll cover you. So God looked after me through that favour. But you know what? I didn't even take additional sick leave. It was just the appointments that I had to go to and the treatment that I needed. But I didn't really even take any additional sick leave. The beauty of being in my work environment was that I got to share my story with so many people. I got to share about my hope and my faith. And I've worked in financial services for a long time. I hadn't been able to speak about Jesus like I was enabled to in those moments. Nobody says, oh, stop it, Kelly, when you're talking about your whole reason for keeping on going. It was a blessing to me to share, and people would tell me that they were so encouraged, and it also caused them to look differently at their own situations. I really wanted to stop sometimes because, you know, people would be talking about what they're doing tomorrow, and I do like to talk and I do like to join in. It was hard for me to hold back, but sometimes I'd have to say, I'm getting chemo. And all of a sudden the conversation went, oh, Kelly, I'm so sorry to hear that. But it was okay. It was actually encouraging for people to see that we can keep going because Jesus helps us and strengthens us. It was emotionally challenging going through a second time, you know, because I thought I'd already fought the battle and won and already prayed all of the prayers. But God just kept saying to me, wait. Wait and see what I'm going to do. Wait. My third point this morning is wait on the Lord. He renews our strength as we keep looking to Him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In Romans 4, 20 to 21, we hear about and we read about Abraham. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able to perform. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. Could you imagine if Abraham and Sarah were walking in our congregation and we'd been there when they'd had the promise that they're going to have a child, and mid-journey, we'd still seen nothing. Sarah, well past childbearing years, I wonder what we'd start to say to them. Sarah, maybe you should look at adoption. I don't know if this is going to happen. Did you really hear from God? And, you know, I had so much support and so many people that had encouraged me along the way, but there was one situation where someone was kind of implying that it was my faith. But God was so good. You know, that hurt me. I was like, God, I am here again. He has a point. But the Lord reminded me that we all have a measure of, He gives each of us a measure of faith. And you only need a faith the size of the mustard seed to move a mountain. And He reminded me of Abraham. Abraham hoped, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So we know the end of Abraham's story. He saw the child. in a miracle situation, long after everyone else had given up hope. And he was telling me to keep focused, to stay, to keep my eyes fixed upon him. Because he who has promised is able to do what he says he's going to do. I'm reminded of Mary even in that moment when it says, blessed is she who has believed that he would fulfill his promises to her. There's a blessing in believing. He blesses us as we keep our eyes fixed on him and believing in him. So even just this week, you know, I went through the second time, I had the treatment, I had the surgery. I even got really fit and healthy again. I ran a half marathon in July. I was really happy with that. I felt, yeah, thank you. And I feel great, you know. I probably have a lot more energy than people that haven't gone through what I've been through. But the PET scans, I had to have routine PET scans. And even just this week, I had one a couple of weeks back. And I found out on Friday that this PET scan that is a brand new machine has become eagle-eyed. And it picked up a minuscule amount of cancer cells in a lymph node. So I'm going to have to go and have this lymph node removed. But you know what? It's such a small thing. How am I feeling? I'm still looking to the Lord. I'm strengthening myself in God. I know that he is faithful to do what he has promised. And I am healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And I'm going to see the goodness of God. Psalm 27, verse 13 to 14. We've sung about it this morning, but it's true. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That waiting, it's not just a layback. I think it's an active waiting. I'm not a theologian, but I imagine it's a very active, anticipating, expectant waiting. You know, like your puppy dog when you've got to feed him and he knows that the food is coming. It's like, come on, come on, come on. It's that waiting and knowing. As a kid, I used to love it when we would have people come over. You would find me hiding in the curtains, looking out onto the street so that I could see their car coming down the road towards us. I was so excited that we were having guests. I was a bit shy. I didn't want them to see me, which was why I was behind the curtain. But it's that expectancy that God is able to do what he said he will do. And I want to encourage you this morning. Is there things that you have just stopped waiting on God for? Is there something because you haven't seen your result just yet that you've gone, oh, well, I'm going to leave that one alone? Think about Abraham. He kept believing and he saw the promises of God. We need to keep believing, keep hoping, keep praying, keep our eyes fixed upon him. That's scripture. You've set your eyes like flint. Because you've set your eyes like flint to me, I will deliver him. When we look into him, when we've only got one name that we're calling upon, he is our deliverer. I love that scripture too. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God wants us to be overcomers. God wants us to rise above the things that have come against us. And don't be surprised when you're facing into challenges, when he chooses to use broken vessels to bring about his glory. You're not disqualified from sharing about God when you're going through challenges. It's even more powerful when it's from a broken vessel. So you might be here this morning and you might be needing direction from the Lord, the battle strategy for your situation. Well, you might even just be wanting that encouragement to keep praying, to know that he hears every prayer and to build that discipline into your Christian faith journey. Or it may be that you need to be refreshed by the Lord this morning as you wait upon him. Because I tell you, that's waiting on the Lord. He renews our strength. Sorry about this. This is another running story, but David and I recovered differently. When we're a bit tired in the afternoon, I like to go for a run. It refreshes me. David likes to have a little sleep. But anyway, nothing wrong with the sleeps, but there's something about being active, waiting on the Lord, and it renews and refreshes us.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.